Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
There's an article in this morning's paper by Sophie Kasikov and Blake Patterson. I talked yesterday about one of their articles that kind of brings up a lot of what's happening relative to the bond commission approving the $125 million short-term loan for the city of New Orleans. And they're having to adopt the budget by December 1st, I think is the date, if my memory serves me correct. And obviously, there's a little bit of push and pull, and I guess some struggles trying to pull data together that's meaningful. The mayor-elect said that she does not have a cent to waste, so she's got to get all over this. And I couldn't agree more with her observations. Now, I may part with the transition team and the mayor-elect, and that's why I want to bring it up. They intend to propose $50 million be budgeted next year for overtime. I find it a little bit odd, and I said yesterday that Mayor Cantrell could be a huge assist by giving this transition team access to a lot of different things relative to the budget in order to determine real numbers that they can put into this budget. My experience is if you budget $50 million, the folks in the administration will figure out a way to spend $50 million. And we know that there were some events that occurred in 2025 that are not going to happen in 2026, more likely than not. Some we can say guaranteed, others not so much. But the reality is that it really takes a look-see now, 60 days in advance of taking office, less one, 59 days now, to hammer down these numbers and to look long and hard and have these departments justify these numbers before we start putting pen to paper. I've said this for weeks now. I know the political realities of this. It's very difficult. But we also know that not only the legislative auditor, the inspector general, and others have said that there's no doubt that there's abuses. They already know about it. They've already documented some of these abuses. And obviously, there's also some policies that are in place that are actually working to the detriment of the administration. It would behoove everyone, I think, if some of these policies would be immediately visited and talked about how we go about changing them. One of the abuses that they talked about is that in the NOPD, officers are taking vacation time to go work details. That can't happen. That's got to come to an end. Staffing is first. We don't take vacation to work details. Part of the problem that we're going to see is, and it's probably already there now, and it's why there's a motivation to do this. There are going to be people that are going to be paying some good amounts of money for security during the holiday season. They do it every year. And officers take vacation time sometimes to go work these details. It's hard to staff when you're already understaffed without hitting overtime numbers if you're allowing this practice to occur. The reality is that you've got to be selfish in your approach and make sure that your staffing is there first. Plain and simple. That's a benefit that they have to work details, but it's not a guaranteed. And I know I'm probably making a lot of enemies within the NOPD, but this is what I talk about when I said you got to embrace the consequence. You got to consume political capital. I've never been shy. Ask anybody that ever worked for me. Was never shy about calling folks out. In fact, I'd get a list of people that were making incredible amounts of number every year, usually twice a year, at the sheriff's office. We'd call them into the office. Hey, what's going on? How are you able to work all of these hours within the construct of the policies that we have in place? Explain this to me and justify how you're able to give me 100% when you're giving others a lot of time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
And a lot of times we've come to an agreement that that's going to change because it's not in the best interest of the entity. The entity's interest always outweighs the individual. So policies like that have to change. You can't manage an organization that's understaffed by allowing them on a whim to decide and to pick and choose what they are going to do with their time. The restrictions have to be in place. Their ability to make those types of decisions need to be minimized as much as possible. It's not going to be a popular position. But the reality is it's one way that you can immediately impact overtime. All of those other things are secondary to staffing. And then within the organization itself, for example, we adopted policies that we did not go short in the districts. Overtime spent was in the district first, making sure that each beat within the respective districts were in fact manned, because I always believe that first and foremost, the cornerstone of the success of the JPSO was response time. When the public calls and you respond, the public's always going to be behind you. They're going to be your biggest cheerleaders because that's when they're down and out. That's when they feel vulnerable, right? That's when they're calling upon a service that they don't typically call upon, and it might be the only time in their life that they do. And when you're Johnny on the spot and you respond, it pays back to you as an organization tenfold. And the more believers you have in the organization, the non-believers, the better off you are going to be. But taking a number of what we spent in the previous year, when we're going to be starting possibly as much as $125 million down, we don't know for sure whether or not we're going to have to draw upon all those dollars or not. That math is not going to work very well. The interesting thing about government is that a lot of folks posture themselves and policy themselves to a break-even budget. Well, that doesn't really work very well, right? Especially when you start digging down into the granular details of where you're spending money. So, for example, pick a building, any building that the city owns, that the city occupies, and that they manage. Walk through the building and tell me that that's a Class A building. Tell me that the maintenance has been done. Tell me that all of the things are up to snuff. And even worse, tell me whether or not they are in compliance with the city code. Well, more often than not, the answer to that is going to be no, 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 and no. And the reason is that you have to generate surpluses in your budget to be able to fund the capital expenditures, CapEx, the capital expenditures necessary to keep your properties current. And if you don't think that the state of your property doesn't contribute to the morale of your organization, you just don't understand organizational culture. So the reality is that you need, and this non-for-profit word, I'm not sure what people really believe that is. Not-for-profits run themselves as a for-profit. They have to. The only difference is they're not spinning off dividends and paying stockholders. But internally, in fact, even under GASB, Governmental Accounting Standards Boards, as opposed to FASB, Financial Accounting Standard Boards, 30 years ago, there was a wide delta between the two in how they presented themselves and how you had to present your financials. Almost every 5 years, they're coming closer and closer and closer together because people recognize that to run government from a financial perspective effectively and efficiently, you are going to report more like FASB, especially when you go to the bond markets, because they're used to looking at data as though it's in the kind of the FASB landscape. When you're looking for loans, when you're a bunch of different activities that are there. So just finding a little bit interesting, you know, about this. And I think that there's an opportunity here, and hopefully, and I really hope that Mayor Cantrell allows it and they get in. And before we start doing these numbers and throwing out what last year's spend was with little or no oversight. Almost everybody agrees that there was little to no oversight, right? That we try to figure out what policies are generating, why we're having this, change those policies, consume political capital early on, and move through this process. And you have to be very parochial in your thinking, quite frankly. Very parochial in your thinking. And these task forces, as it relates to overtime, I know I've managed this. It ran away from us many times. Many times. Made many mistakes. Learn from those mistakes as to how to best manage overtime. And I can tell you, if you're not looking at it weekly, if you're not looking at your payroll runs weekly right now as it relates to overtime, you're not doing what's necessary to manage it. And when you create a dashboard of what you would expect to see as it relates to overtime within, let's just say the NOPD, within each of the 8 individual districts, and someone's not being called in that's responsible for staffing to justify the outlier week, then you're not managing overtime. This is a crisis, and it requires crisis intervention. And crisis intervention means you're going to be more intrusive, more intuitive about everything that you do in a more real-time basis. And even waiting to look at it on a quarterly basis may be too late. Because the real goal here, folks, is not to draw down the $125 million in its totality. The big success and the party that we would have is if we only drew down 60. And you need to take these remedial actions now and not just rely, well, I got this $125 million I can pull down. No. No. You want to pull down the least amount possible. But that's going to take intrusive behavior, intrusive conduct, and accountability, and making these managers Everybody wants rank. Everybody wants to manage until the time comes to manage. Right? And I love the manager that would walk into your office and say, boss, we got a problem. Okay, what's your solution? And you get the deer in the headlights look, right? Well, wait a minute. You're going to walk into my office with a problem and no solution? If you need to borrow my intellect, if you're afraid to make this decision, then what you're telling me is I don't need you. I could do this on my own. And until they get to a point in time where that begins to be the culture, the landscape in which we justify our spend, it can't just be, well, we don't have enough employees. And now, how are you deploying those individuals? You know, I keep hearing about the snowstorm creating all of this overtime. Why is that? How did that happen? I drove back and forth to the studio during that entire snowstorm event, probably 8 to 10 times. There was nobody on the street. If I saw three cars in making that multi-mile trek from Old Metairie to 400 Poydras, it's a lot. I mean, it can't just be, well, we got a snowstorm, so let's just go rack up some overtime. We don't have that luxury. We don't have that pleasure any longer. And no one should have the discretion in order to approve it, quite frankly. Because the only way we'll pull ourselves out of this $160 million hole that we find ourselves in is to be a little bit obnoxious, quite frankly. And if folks working for the city thinks that status quo is going to be where this is going to end up, and you're going to beat down the administration, I'm not so sure that Helena Moreno is going to be on that sheet of music with you. I kind of chuckled the other day. The fire department, they're not reading the room, I don't think. I don't know. Complaining about a washing machine. Now, someone tell me that there's not a couple of $100 somewhere to get a washing machine at a fire district fixed? Really? Now, in the same breath, they say they're ready, willing, and able to stand up and assist the city in this challenge that they have from a budgetary standpoint. Really? Oh, but by the way, we have a couple of washing machines that are down. We go out on calls, and sometimes we have blood soaked into our uniform, and you know there's this necessity for the washing machine. Well, how many uniforms do you have, and do you have enough to carry you through your tour of duty, and is there something wrong with bringing them home and washing them? Or maybe we can figure out a way to get the washing machine fixed. There's a will, there's a way. Just kind of interesting. These little anecdotes that are out there where they really believe that no one's going to have to feel any pain as we get through this process. A lot of folks be in for a rude awakening. Because then I'll say it again, the math has no emotion. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.